Thank you. Thank you. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Be seated, please, and take your Bibles. Be seated. Oh, I'm very grateful. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are wonderful. Praise the Lord. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16 in your Bible. you guys are great. Thank you. Very grateful. Very grateful. I love you too. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Hello. And you guys are great. It's a blessing to be here. And I'm very thankful for the college, thankful for the students. Great to look across the crowd and to see friends that I've known through the years. And so thank you for taking time to be here. I wish I could stay. I've got to leave almost immediately afterwards, pretty much immediately. And let's see if I make it, all right? I've got a 1:30 flight at Midway. Who says, Brother Judah, no problem? Who says no problem? Anybody? Who says, Brother Judah, we will see you tonight right here in Chicago? I think we might. We might. We'll see. We'll see. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, and let's look at, we're going to read 13 verses or so, but of course it is the story of David when God sends Samuel to find the next king of Israel. God has rejected Saul. Man, I don't want to be rejected by God. I don't want to be put on the shelf. I don't want to preach with no power. God's rejected Saul, and so it's time to find another king. The Bible says in the first verse, the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. It's an interesting thought. But God could have sent Samuel straight to where David was. He could have sent him right there. God knew where David was, and obviously Samuel was listening to the Lord. But God found it necessary to send Samuel through a series of no's before he found God's choice and God's yes. And oftentimes in life, that's the way it is for you and for me. We'll go through a series of no's before we see God's yes. College life, some of you guys have experienced a series of no's, and you're still waiting. You're still waiting. Yeah, what is that? Quincy, should I read this? Should I read this, Quincy? Set me up, brother. That's what it says. Set me up, brother. I need a date. Quincy, let me prophesy over you for a moment, Quincy. You're going to go through a series of no's before you find. Quincy's a great young man, and Anyhow, we've brought you up here before during a chapel message, haven't we? I seem to remember that. But, hey, seriously. Don't get discouraged if what you think is God's plan does not work out immediately, because it is in the nature of God to send his children through some deserts, through some no's before we find God's yes. That's not what I'm preaching on today. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy." That word ruddy means healthy. "Withal of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." Father, I pray that you would bless this message. And Lord, just the short time that we have, God, they don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from you. And so I pray that you would help every word to be exactly what you would want said. Holy Spirit, I pray for the power of God in this place, for conviction to settle in, and for eternal work to be done in the lives of these young men and young women. And Lord, I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a powerful thought this morning. It's a probing question. Brother John, we were talking earlier just for a minute in the ready room about it, and I believe that it's something that you will think about long after this chapel service is over. That's my heart's desire. If David were here today, talking about King David, if he were here today, Brother Collins, if he were a part of our student body, a young man, he was a young man, if he were a young man in our student body, I believe with all of my heart that David would be applauded. I believe that he has a resume and accomplishments that are very, very, very notable and admirable. And David would be no stranger to applause. He was a special young man. The Bible says that he was ruddy. He was goodly to look to. He was of a beautiful countenance. There are so many other things that we know about a young David. If David were here, he would be a cut above the norm, in my opinion. You can look at David two ways, and I want you to think of him two ways. You can think of David prior to verse number 13. And if you see David prior to verse number 13, what you're going to find is a young man that the world and his peers would look at and they would applaud. But you can look at David prior to verse 13. You can look at David after verse 13. And what you would find after verse 13 is not just somebody worthy of applause, but you would find somebody, the Bible says, with the anointing of God. And so my question for you is just this. We'll preach it for a few moments. You, are you applauded or anointed? You know, we often hear from businessmen in our area, well, we like to hire your students. It's not difficult for a student at Hiles Anderson College to get a job. It's not difficult for you to find some favor in the community, especially today. You know, it's not a hard thing for a young man or a young lady who is sharp and who is with it and who has been taught how to work. And it's not a difficult thing for you to just kind of almost immediately be a cut above the rest, applauded. My question is, are you anointed? You see, my friend, if you look at David prior to verse number 13, you are going to see a lot of things that the world will applaud. You are going to see the fact that David was a worker. In verse number 11, the Bible says, behold, he keepeth the sheep. And if you were a shepherd, this was not easy work. This was hard work. This is early work. This is dirty work. This was man's work. This work was laborious. And David was a shepherd. He was a worker. And I'm going to tell you something. I applaud work. I applaud diligence. And in today's world, it is easy. Look, it is easy to excel if you will just simply determine, I'm going to be a worker. I hate laziness. And I really do hate laziness. We need hard workers. I mean, we need young men and young ladies that'll put their hand to the plow and get out there. And if you're working 8 hours, then work those 8 hours. And I'll just say, if you ever get sent home from work because you did something foolish, Lord, help you. I mean, we need some hard workers. I've determined if I ever leave this place, I want pastor to have to find 2 or 3 people to take my spot. Listen, I'm not much. I don't have any talent. I have a little bit of hard work. And David was a hard worker. And in this soft generation, we need some hard workers again. But you could be a hard worker, not be anointed by God. David was a worker. I believe David was a separated young man. If you look over in verse number 5, the Bible says that Samuel said to Jesse and his sons and called the Bible says that Samuel sanctified Jesse and his sons and he called them to the sacrifice. He looked at Jesse and he looked at his sons and he set them apart. He sanctified them. But when Samuel gets put in front of David, there was no sanctification necessary. I believe this. I believe there was already something about David that was separated, that was special. There was already something about David that was different. David, in my opinion, he was already, he didn't look like, smell like, act like the world. And let me just say, I believe in separation, and separation is to be applauded. We're living in a day and age where the church is getting dangerously close to the world. And my friend, I'm just going to say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You are a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. And my friend, there's nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to our separation. But watch this. You can be separated, not be anointed by God. As much as I believe in looking right and acting right and speaking right and talking and thinking in a way that would please God, I don't think we need to be Amish. We don't need to be weird. But watch this. We should live separated from this world. But you don't need to be anointed to be separated. We read on that David was very skilled. It's good to have my friend, Brother Early here. Brother Early's an unbelievable piano player. I mean, he's great. I don't know if he was born that way, but I would imagine you had to practice. I would imagine there's a lot of hard work that goes in. You young people that play instruments here, I have zero musical ability. Zero, zero. There's not very many things that Brother Collins is better than me at, but music would be one of them, all right? I'll give it to him. I was watching him lead these songs, man. He's up there. And I thought, man, I hate that guy. He's good at that. And God gave him something. But hey, Brother Early's a talented musician. There are many talented musicians in this room. And here's what I know. There might be some phenomenons that were just kind of, you know, they can just pick it up. But most people that are skilled, the Bible says this, verse number 17, if you look at it, Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well. Bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse. And it says he's cunning in playing. He's a mighty valiant man. And Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. Here was somebody who had a reputation of being a young man that was skilled. No doubt he would practice that harp. No doubt he had character. He put in the time. And not only that, he could perform. It's one thing to be able to do it when nobody's around, but to get ushered in front of the king and to be able to perform, there's a whole different pressure there. And David was skilled. But you don't have to be anointed to be skilled. My friends, I want you to hear me. I want you to be applauded. I want the students at Hiles Anderson College, man, I want your bosses to say, boy, that's a hard worker. That's a diligent person. I would want you to be a hardworking, separated, skilled young man and young lady, somebody worthy of applause. But hey, I want so much more than that for you. So much more than that. I would like for you to be anointed by God, not just applauded, but anointed by God. David was all of those things before verse 13. But when we come to verse 13, we see the anointing of God on David's life. That anointing made him a spiritual man, because the Bible says in verse number 13, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. David, after verse 13, wasn't just a worker. He wasn't just skilled. He wasn't just separated. Now all of a sudden he's spiritual. When David shows up into a room, Satan walks out. That's what happened when he showed up to play in front of Saul. The Bible says in verse number 23 that the evil spirit departed from him. I wonder, when you show up, does the devil walk out? Is there anything about you that has the touch of God on your life? Have you been anointed? He was spiritual. He was special. Lots of people on that hillside. Lots of soldiers on that hillside. But only one who would say, is there not a cause? You see, he was special, and God used him to do the supernatural there in the Valley of Elah. And throughout his life, David would be used in a supernatural way. D.L. Moody, the year was 1871. He was pastoring the largest church in Chicago, not too far from here. As he would preach Sunday after Sunday, two old ladies sat in the front row of D.L. Moody's church. And if you read the account written by his son, you would read that D.L. Moody could tell that they were praying for him. There in the front row, these two elderly ladies were praying for him service after service while he preached. He could tell that they were praying. And one day after the service, the two elderly ladies came up and they said, Mr. Moody, we are praying for you. He said, why are you praying for me? Pray for the people. And they looked at him and said, we're praying for you because you need the power of the Holy Spirit. And week after week, he saw those old ladies praying. It began to bother him. Moody would think, I pastor a large church. I preach and people get saved every single week. Why are they praying for me? What kind of power do I need? And he called an appointment with those two elderly ladies. They met him in his office and he was going to question them, but before he could question them, the story is they walked into his office, they got on their knees, and they began together pouring their heart out that Mr. Moody would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And at first he was upset, but in that prayer meeting, as he heard them beg for God to fill him, something sparked on the inside. Something began to grow, a desire, a hunger, a thirst came upon his soul, and he began to desire more. Yes, he pastored a large church. Yes, he preached and people were saved. If we could put it in today's context, he was on a bus route. People got saved. People came to church. Maybe he had some baptisms, but he desired something more, and soon a great hunger and thirst came on him. I'll quote him for the rest of the story. He said this, my heart was not in the work of begging. There was the great Chicago fire, and his building was burnt down, and his orphanage was burnt down. So he went to New York City to raise some money. But it says his heart was not in the work of begging. He said, I could not appeal. I was crying all the time that God would fill me with his spirit. He said, one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to name. Paul had an experience of which he never spoke for 14 years. And I can only say that God revealed himself to me. And I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. He said, I went to preaching again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths. He said, but where I preached and 10 were saved, now 100 would be saved. When I preached and 100 would be saved, now 1,000 would be saved. I'm talking about D.L. Moody was a great man. Pastored a large church, was admirable and applauded in the community. But there was something different that happened when D.L. Moody was anointed by God. And my friend, that filling is for you. That anointing is for you. We don't just need talented teenagers, talented college students, hardworking, decent, moral citizens. We need people that are anointed with the Holy Spirit of God, that let God do something supernatural in their life. Luther Wieshard was burdened for his generation. And one day he went to go pray at a big monument. The monument was a monument for the Haystack prayer meetings. The Haystack prayer meetings were known by a group of young men who began to pray for missionaries that would be sent out around the world. And as a result of the Haystack prayer meetings, thousands of missionaries were sent around the world to preach the gospel. But those days were over. And now Luther found himself looking at a stone memorial. The story is he got on his knees and he got on his face. And he prayed there at that monument. He prayed to God. And he prayed, God, do it again. God, would you do it again? Quote, where water flowed, let it flow again. God, would you do it again? And he stayed and he prayed for a long time at that monument. When he stood up finally to walk away, he noticed a man who was watching him pray. The man was older now. He was off to the side watching this young man just pray. God, where the water once flowed, let it flow again. God, would you do it again? The man that was watching him was none other than D.L. Moody. Luther looked at Moody and he said, sir, I know you and I know you have influence. He said, I'm nobody, but I want God to do it again. He said, Mr. Moody, would you please start a conference for young people who want to win the world to Jesus? And something inside of Moody's heart looked at that young man who had prayed and begged God to do it again, and the Holy Spirit of God touched D.L. Moody's heart. No doubt he received many requests to do things just like this. He looked at that young man and he said, I will start a meeting. That meeting continued for 50 years, and 20,000 teens went to the mission field as a result of one man who he said out of his own mouth, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. But I want God to do it again. I'll leave today. I'll leave in 3 minutes. I'll go to Baltimore. And I'll preach there, and I'll preach in Michigan tomorrow, and I'll come back, I'll preach at our church on Sunday morning. And I'm nobody. But inside of my heart, I want God to do it again. I don't want to just be somebody with a testimony. I don't want to just be somebody who can preach. I don't want to just be somebody who can tell a story or put an outline together. You can do all of those things without the anointing of God. I want on my life where the water once flowed, God, let it flow again. And would you do it again? And God, if I have nothing else, may I be an anointed servant of God. So I ask you, are you applauded? Great special. Great sermon. Wonderful big day on your bus route. Boy, you're a cut above the rest. Are you applauded? I'm the best worker on my job, Brother Judah. That's good. That is good. That is good. Anybody can do that. Are you anointed by God? D.L. Moody said he rarely spoke of the moment. I was a freshman in high school when I believed for the very first time in my life, the Holy Spirit of God did something more for me and took me to a place that I could never get to on my own, teenager. He filled me with His Spirit, and throughout the years, many times I've had to find my monument, I've had to find my place and say, Lord, where the water once flowed, would you let it flow again? But teenager, several times, I know I've been filled with the Spirit of God. That's what this generation needs. That's what this generation needs. Servants of God who have more than just character, discipline, work ethic, skill. Servants of God who have the touch of God and the anointing of God on everything that they do. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? Friends, this altar is open. Applauded or anointed? Help us to be anointed. I know it's college days and maybe I should have preached something different. I don't know where Hiles Anderson College ranks on your list or anybody else's list. Here's what I know. Man, if God would just give us some anointed servants, some young people that'll hunger and thirst after righteousness and find the filling of God again. We are nobody, teenager, in the scope of this great big world. We're nobody. It's just a speck of dust. But I believe God can shake the world with some anointed servants. David was not a perfect man. He was not a perfect man. You're not going to be a perfect person. In the New Testament, the Bible says that David served his generation. He was a man after God's own heart. And I would want that to be said of me. And I would want that to be said of you. Give us the filling of the Spirit of God, not just the applause of man. And help us, God, to be Spirit-filled servants. Where once I'd knock on a door and one would get saved, help 10 to get saved. Where once I would preach a message and 10 would be saved, help 100 to be saved. Give me this filling of the Holy Spirit.